This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Open for Business is powered by BossBolay.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury, and welcome to Open for Business this morning. I'm going to be speaking to two fellas from my farm lab. Now, the potential of agrotechnology to empower communities is the catalyst behind my farm lab, which has formed a strategic partnership with My Skills Foundation to set up a microgreen facility in their Kalampang campus. So, My Farm Lab is a social enterprise that enables socio-economically disadvantaged communities through sustainable agro-technological solutions, focusing on imparting agricultural practices that prioritizes the use of technology to ensure ease of operation and optimizing quality produce and enhancing profitability. The two fellas I have with me right now, I have the COO and the CEO. Mr. COO, do you want to introduce yourself first?
Yeah, hi, I'm Kamalan. I'm the COO of My Farm Lab. We started this venture exactly a year ago on April 17, 2021. So it's been a year. So it's good to be on BFM.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Now, Mr. CEO, would you like to introduce yourself too, please?
Thank you, Richard. So I'm Celan, the CEO of My Farm Lab. As my colleague Kamalan mentioned earlier, we are one year old, and this interview couldn't have come at a better time. So thank you, BFM. Thank you, Richard, for giving us this opportunity today.
My pleasure. Now, gentlemen, with that in mind then, let's rewind a year ago, and tell me about the very beginnings of Farm Lab, My Farm Lab. And I'm guessing it's probably a little bit older than 1 year, as you were probably talking about things and getting it moving. What kind of kickstarted the whole thing?
You're absolutely right, Richard, there. So this the start of My Farm Lab was a series of separate conversations that took place sometime towards the end of 2020. At the center point of this entire this separate conversations were Kamalan himself. So Kamalan and I go a long way back. We have served together in public policy, communications, a bit of politics, but mostly on community empowerment. And so we talk a lot, right? And at the same time, the chairman of My Farm Lab, Dr. Nazli, is Kamalan's boss at Biotech Corp some 13 years ago. So they have a long history there. Dr. Nazli is a very entrepreneurial scientist. You know, among the many other things that he loves, he likes to create nutritional products. You know,
right.
And one along those conversations, microgreens came up. So microgreens is a thing in the West for some time since the 70s. It has also been proven a commercially viable product in China. So Dr. Nazli then proposed this to be a business, you know, a product that can be part of a business. So so while that conversation happened, Kamalan and I then talked separately about, you know, getting into farming. So I told him, bro, let's get our hands dirty and let's just do some farming, because this is the, you know, during the middle of the pandemic, when you know, when food security was at a threat. Whether you are rich, you're poor, you're educated, not educated, all of us had the same problem: food. So, so I told him, let's do this together. And that's when he told me, hey, my ex-boss has got this idea, and why don't we, you know, we meet and see whether we can take this to the next level. And so the meeting happened, and we learned about we learned about each other, Dr. Nazli and I, and we explored the idea. Then at the next level of meetings, our two other partners, Datin Sohei and Albert, came on board. So we brainstormed, we talked, we put our thoughts together, and that's how the whole thing got started. So these ideas and whatnot, and I'm proud to say these five people who came together are people who have done well for ourselves and themselves in the past, and and wants to contribute back to the country and the society that has given us so much. And that was the intention behind this. So all our ideas, our thoughts finally crystallized into an action plan. to start a social agro business along the lines of social entrepreneurship, you know, using sustainable agricultural and technological practices to empower those who are, you know, disadvantaged because of our economic system. And this can be anyone, those who have lost their job, those who can't find their job, those who, you know, need some extra bit of income, those who, you know, those who think that they can put their skills to good use, their energy. And so that's how this whole thing came together.
I love the way that you started off with, you know, we love to talk. You're a man out of my own heart. You know? I love to talk to, obviously, and I love to listen to stories. And it's stories like this that I really like to hear from and kind of relay to our listeners. Yeah. Now, microgreens, as you say, have been around for in many forms, depending on where you are, for quite some time. Yeah. And they've certainly been hitting the market here in Malaysia as well over the past couple of years and during the pandemic. Why was it microgreens specifically that you guys decided to focus on?
Okay. What happened was it from my initial discussion with Dr. Nazli. So we wanted to focus on something that is easy to grow, which doesn't require much space. And it has it's a superfood, right? Microgreens we consider as superfood. So usually the other vegetables, other farms grow normal, usual vegetables. It takes some time to grow. It consumes a lot of water, energy, you know. You have to toil in the farm and everything. So our initial discussion was about how do we get people to grow microgreens? That was the initial discussion. It's not about the business per se. We wanted to encourage people to grow microgreens. Like how can they grow it at home? What are the items they can grow at home? So microgreens was the easiest, right? So you get a tray, you get a soil, or you know, you get some grow medium and put the seed. And after 10 days, voila, you just got your harvest and you put in your sandwich. You put in your, kway tiao, mee goreng, whatever. Yes, exactly. So you get the nutrient content there, you know, zap.
So
we were looking at it that way because Dr. Nazli was developing his food supplements, health supplements for his company. He was formulating something and he was growing it at home. And he was like, you know what, Kamal, let's do this. You know, let's try to grow microgreens. And we grew it at home, did some trial run. And that's when we got the idea of, you know what, let's do it as a social enterprise. People should benefit out of it. It's not about just money into our pocket. How do we profit others, right? So that's the main game here, you know. It's not a social ideology or something. It's just that I call ourselves capitalist with some conscience. That's it.
Okay. There's stuff that I want to talk to you about that you mentioned there about, you know, getting other people to do it and kind of join along and teaching them the skills behind it. Let's get to that in a moment, though. But I want to just look at the idea of microgreens, you know, in people's eyes. You know, is this something that you feel more people are opening up to the idea of lately?
It's happening slowly, Richard. You see, we have actually been eating this all along. If you go to all the posh restaurants, the hotels and whatnot, you see this you know, something garnished on your expensive meats or your fish and whatnot. But we just don't know that these are microgreens. We just, some of us eat it, some of us just put it aside.
I was just going to say, for those of us that don't know better, they may have put it aside in the plate.
Exactly. You know, not knowing that the thing on top has got much more value than the one that is down there, which is causing, you know, all kind of sickness to you. So, but I suppose it takes a lot of awareness to be created for, you know, for the people to realize the true potentials and the true benefits of microgreens. And, you know, just like how we had this the buzz about how veganism and vegetarianism came about, it is not some. It was something that was seen as religious back then, but eventually a lot of people adopted it, and so that's the same thing that we're thinking about because you can't just change people overnight. We are so used to, you know, the conventional way of doing things. So we have embarked on a rather challenging journey where we want to create awareness among the people about the health benefits of microgreens and, you know, what is the good you get by consuming it. And it's not just doing it for ourselves, but also you know, to help other microgreen producers out there, because the market is huge. the vegetable market. The market is huge. So we want all the players here to get the benefits so that more people realize and more people know about it and consume it, really.
All right.
Yeah, that's
on
it.
Sorry, Cameron, did you want to add something there?
Yeah, I mean, one more thing, right? How are they people? The biggest challenge, I would say, is the taste palate, right? Like, we're so used to eating the normal vegetables. Say, for broccoli, for instance, right? It has a certain texture and nice, you know? Some people like broccoli, some people don't. But this microgreen broccoli is just two leaves and a stem. It's a small green thing, right? So, I mean, you can have both. You can have, but it's just that we are trying to encourage people to have more of this small thing, microgreens, because it has, I mean, as we said earlier, more nutrients packed within it than the actual broccoli. So, yeah, that's the challenge now, the taste palate and the inner chefs. Yeah, that's it.
About 10 to 40 times higher nutrients levels than the normal vegetables.
Yeah.
It's crazy when you talk about these numbers. When you try to explain that to people and they go, huh?
Yeah, anyway. You get the blank looks, Richard, trust me.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, okay, let's take a short break here, gents. We're going to come back and I've got a whole bunch more questions for you folks. Ladies and gents, you're tuned into Open for Business, where I am on the phone line with Salem and Cameron. Of course, they are the guys behind my farm lab. You're tuned into Open for Business. We'll be back in just a couple more minutes. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Open for Business here on Enterprise on BFM 89.9.
Open for Business will reopen in a few moments. Powered by BossBully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
Beautiful festive moments. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Open for Business is powered by BossBully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury. Welcome back to Open for Business. I have both the COO and the CEO of my farm lab on the phone with me right now. Do you want to introduce yourself again quickly, Kamalan, first?
Hey, I'm Kamalan. I'm the CEO of my farm lab. We do microgreens.
They do microgreens. And we have Salen. He is the CEO of my farm lab. Say hello, Salen.
Hi, guys. I'm Salen here.
Now, we just wrapped up with the in the first segment about the huge amounts of nutrients that are involved in microgreens, and what I love about the idea of microgreens is that they can be pretty much grown anywhere and in small spaces, and for those of us that are living in cramped spaces in the city and places like that, they seem like the almost ideal crop to be growing inside, you know, these smaller areas. Would you agree with that?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
In fact, before we started cultivating microgreens for commercial purpose, I tried this out by buying a test kit in Kinokuniya, KLCC, Richard. I was browsing through the books and I saw this shelf and it had this small little tiny box as a starter kit. So,
well, there you go.
Curiosity. Yeah. So just start. I mean, that's my first test of microgreen.
Your first exposure to microgreens.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's that simple.
Brilliant. Now, obviously, there's something that I mentioned at the beginning of the show and in the introduction. It's about this partnership with the My Skills Foundation. How is that working out? Can you talk to me a little bit about that?
Oh, well, that's an interesting bit of history there. We have worked with My Skills for the last 12 years since they started. And, you know, they have been doing a wonderful job to retrain the at-risk youth, you know, those who don't finish their high school, even primary school for that matter, those who come from challenged backgrounds, family backgrounds and whatnot. So we have had a very good working relationship with them in our previous capacity. And like I mentioned at the start of the interview about how I had conversation with Cumberland about, you know, getting into this agro business. So I approached Mr. Pasupadi, the founder of My Skills Foundation, because I've been going, you know, in the process of working with them, I've quite attached to the 34 acres campus in Kalumpang. And, you know, a lot of agriculture activities goes on there. The boys are, you know, very, very hardworking boys, you know, cultivating vegetables organically. So that inspired me. That really inspired me to start this conversation with Kamalin. And so on one occasion when I spoke to Mr. Pasupathi, I said, can you help to find me a land somewhere near here, you know? I'm sure there are huge lands here. Can you just help to get one? Because, you know, we were planning to start something. And so a couple of weeks later, he came back and said, why are you, you know, why are you going for a separate piece of land? Why don't you just use the space we have here and do what you want? You know, wow. So we were, we were touched. I was quite surprised. And but I suppose that's, you know, there's a saying, you know, you reap what you sow. So we have always believed in doing the good. And I suppose it came in handy to help us at that point of time when we wanted to start something. So, you know, they gave us a lot of support. Something I would notably mention here is that, you know, when we talked about the idea of building an enclosure, just an enclosure within the one of the warehouses that they have kindly agreed to rent to us, you know, we spoke of an enclosure. But, you know, the students of the foundation came with a great plan. And eventually they built us a greenhouse, you know, a proper greenhouse using recycled materials. At a cost that is way cheaper than the the tens of thousands that you will pay otherwise if you give it to someone else outside. It's a monument, a testimony of what people can achieve if they're given the given a chance to realize their full potential. And the support from MySkills to date has been remarkable. I would say outstanding. You know, they are our greatest strength here, Richard.
Oh, that's great to hear. And obviously, they're helping you to produce the microgreens as well now, are they?
So in return of their kindness, we have we train their students, you know, extra knowledge, extra skills for the students. And so they get trained with us. So they cultivate the entire thing. The medium preparation to harvesting and packing and whatnot. So it's all done by them. We just give them the skill and the knowledge. They just do it. And they are all urban farmers now, Richard.
Yeah. Great. Well, I think we all need to be moving forward.
Yeah.
And that kind of brings me on to my next question is, you know, how different really is farming microgreens compared to traditional farming? And how have the local community adapted to this technology?
Okay. As I mentioned earlier, microgreens are easy to grow. You don't need much space. You don't need much soil. You just need a tray. You don't need a tray 10 by 10 centimeters, perhaps the smallest, you know, you can just grow it with some seeds. So what happens is the traditional veggies, you need about 2 weeks, need about months to grow. This, less than 2 weeks, it grows and you can consume it. So the challenge right now, as I said earlier, right, how the community is adapting to it, the challenge is... To infuse this in their recipe, right? That's the hardest thing that we have found. Even restaurants and all, we need to go and educate them on, okay, how do you use microgreens in their recipes, in their food, in their, you know, whatever menu that they are preparing. So we work closely with the chefs and everything. So, I mean, right now the awareness is picking up. So that's the thing. Right now we are doing a lot more awareness so that not only us as a microgreen grower benefit out of it, all other microgreen growers out there will benefit out of this, whereby... we are creating a certain awareness in terms of how to cook, how to do this. So we are ramping up our awareness program campaigns. And of course, we are working together with like people like AirAsia, Grocer, AA Grocer. So they have put
BFM.
Our greens. Yeah, BFM, of course. You know, you guys have been, you know, supporting from day one. So, and the thing... One of the major difference between our microgreens and traditional farm, I would say, how do we bring the farm nearer to you, right? Like, that's the main goal right now. To eat healthy, you need the food to travel less. So you need the food to be fresher. You need the food to be without any pesticide, no poison on it, right? So you need to be fresh. So microgreens, one of the best thing about microgreens, it doesn't need any pesticide because it's grown indoors, right? And it's just about 2-3 leaves. And the biggest threat to microgreens, the mold, because of the because it's moist, the soil is moist, the mold might appear once in a while. But if you manage to have a good soil, even the mold is not there no more. I mean, we have formulated a good soil right now, and we don't see no mold anymore. For the past few months, it's been great. And this is what we are trying to do, right? Like, this farm should be replicated everywhere. We always believe that, you know, every neighborhood should have a small farm. So within a 1 to 2 kilometer radius, you should be able to access your farm. And then you don't need to go to a big market. Like right now, right, the food comes from, say, Cameron Highlands. It travels like half a day to Selayang Market. From Selayang Market, say you are living in Seremban, it takes another 1 day to travel to Seremban. So in Seremban, it's in the shelf for another 5 to 6 days. For it to stay that long in the fridge, the farmer in Cameron Highlands, they have to coat it with some kind of chemicals, you know,
to preserve it
that long. And it's unhealthy, right? So that's the thing. It's in an ideal world, you can have a farm in your neighborhood, but it's just that our wishful thinking to have a... So urban farm, I would say the best substitute for that. If you don't have space, you have a unused, underutilized space or, you know, vertical space anywhere, even your rooftop, you know, you can have a good farm and produce some microgreens and, you know, fulfill your nutrient requirements.
This really reminds me of something. Excuse me while I talk about my own experience just for a moment. When I was growing up, you know, I'm a 70s and 80s kid, so I'm now admitting my age live on radio. But my grandfather used to have a space called an allotment, and these were small parcels of land that were given to householders, you know, house owners within townships. So, you know, he'd have his garden where he'd grow his roses and whatever, but he'd also have a little parcel of land, and it would perhaps be, you know, it wouldn't be nowhere near an acre. It would be like, you know, just a few meters square. But within that few meters square, he'd be growing, you know, carrots and cauliflower and cucumbers and all of these little things that he could then use at home.
Interesting. That's right.
And we seem to have lost that in the UK as well. You know, those parcels of land have been filled up with something, probably a new house or, you know, in KL, probably a new mall, you know.
That's right.
But those parcels of land where food was literally grown on your doorstep have gone for the most part. And, you know, and like you say, Cameron, it's coming down from Cameron Highlands, you know, with stuff like microgreens. It could literally be on your doorstep again. I mean, you know, we have these malls and some of them are empty right now. We could have indoor farms within these malls, couldn't we?
Yeah, we certainly can. In fact, Richard, sorry, the last year when we had a consultation with the Ministry of Finance for the Budget 2022, we floated this idea about, you know, there must be some kind of policy level intervention by the government to allow all those unused spaces. You know, not just land, you know, not just those high retention lands, TNB lands and whatnot. It's even, you know, spaces, parking lots, you know, these PPR flats, those unused spaces, or any piece of parcel, like you said earlier, the allotment, you know, those tiny bit of lands available everywhere. Make it available for communities or individuals with interest to cultivate, for them to grow the food, you know, and for them to consume what is safer and cheaper. And we were quite happy to note that when Tengku Zafrul, the finance minister, announced the budget, there was a mention about government will facilitate the usage of unused government lands and council lands for the purpose of agriculture cultivation with financial support in terms of grants and loans from the Agro Bank. So I think it's a positive step forward. In terms of bringing back what we essentially has lost, you know, this is the best way to mitigate the issue. Like what Kamlan said, you know, by the time the food is grown up there in the highlands, and by the time it comes down here to where we live, it has taken such a long process and coated with all sort of stuff, poisons on it. You know, we can then reduce this. Mitigate this,
for sure.
This, you know.
For sure. I mean, the big topic of discussion is sustainability. It's carbon footprints. It's, you know, cost to consumer. By taking away all of these little middlemen, essentially, you know, you're solving all of these problems and creating jobs in the meantime.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
We should be working on this, fellas. We have a business idea right here.
We are working on it. I mean, it takes a long, long way to go, Richard, to be honest.
But
you know what? We are just going to do our bit while you know, this whole thing, this whole it's a seismic move to make this happen. You know, but that's what my farm lab is all about. You know, we want to, like you just rightly pointed out, it's not just about a business, but about giving opportunity to people to grow, you know, economically, having a job. You know, look at farming not as a dirty job, but look at it as a profession. You are feeding people, if not yourself, you know.
Yeah, and it's that shifting of mindset. That's exactly, all it is.
Exactly.
I mean, can I add one more? Like, you know, in terms of pricing, consumer, I mean, people say like vertical farms or microgreens are expensive. You know, they are out there, you know. So that's to balance sustainability and reducing carbon footprint. I mean, there is a price to pay, right? But you can still maintain an affordable price. We are working on that right now to maintain an affordable price. It's not expensive and it's not cheap, but affordable price. So people can do this business and make it profitable. I mean, it is a profitable business. And at the same time, you can be sustainable and you can reduce carbon footprint. But I mean, I would like to comment here, but what we have seen right now is a rise in vertical farms. I mean, I would say premium vertical farms. I mean, they are not catering to food security. They're catering to T20s, I would say, you know. only if you're T20, you can afford to buy those premium greens. That's not right. I mean, come on. Everyone needs to eat healthy. Not only the rich needs to eat healthy. Everyone needs to eat healthy. And we have to play our part, you know. Like, we have to mix some sacrifices and, you know, to reduce something somewhere and make it affordable.
And this is my issue with, you know, veganism as well. And, you know, it's not that I disagree. I love the idea of people who are vegan and going that way. But the affordability is stumbling block. That's the stumbling block. And until we can get that price down, we're not really going to make any further movement in a positive direction. But gentlemen, just before I wrap up, I want to say, first of all, thank you for taking this time to talk to me today. It's been an absolute pleasure listening to the two of you sound so passionate about a project that you're involved in. And I know that you are looking at hoping to expand into other major cities in the near future. Penang, Ipoh, Seremban, JB, Kuantan, correct?
Yes, that's right.
Singapore,
Singapore as well. Wow. Okay, and with the idea, of course, is to help reduce urban poverty and malnutrition. Great idea, great business. Love what you're doing. Thanks for taking the time to talk to me.
Thank you, Richard.
Thank you, Richard.
All right.
Thanks.
Where can people find out more information before I let you go?
You can follow us on our social media. Just look for My Farm Lab on your social, your Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. You can even check us out on our website, www.myfarmlab.com.
Brilliant.
And, you can get our microgreens on AirAsia Super App. You know, it's on AirAsia.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. Everybody can eat microgreens.
That's a quick one.
indeed. I've been on the phone with Kamalan and Ceylan from My Farm Lab. If you missed any part of this interview, please download the podcast wherever you normally would do. I recommend using the BFM app. That's available on the Apple App Store and Google Play. Not yet in the AirAsia Super app. Could be, though. For BFM 89.9, my name is Rich Bradbury.
Are you open for business? Register your company with bossmalay.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.